On this week's show, energizing digital infrastructure with John Cheshire from Cumulus. All right, John, good morning.
Good morning.
Coming to us from Denver on the same time zone, close to one another. Fellow mountain biker, I'm excited. How you doing?
Doing great, man. Thanks for having me on the show.
I'm really excited to dive into it. John's got a cool history. I think you guys are going to dig this journey. But as you know, check us out on social media. Follow us out there. It's youtube.com/@thecontechcrew. And remember, we've got that little special out there for you guys. Unbound.bluebeam.com. Use the code Unbound the Crew. All right, crew, it's back. The next evolution of Bluebeam's legendary user conference, XCOM, is here. It's called Unbound, and it's coming to DC this fall, September 30th to October 2nd. You know the vibe. Expert insights from industry leaders, cutting-edge construction tech, Bluebeam training and certification, and unparalleled networking with your global peers. Unbound takes that legacy to the next level with new AI-powered workflows, global AEC connections. But don't worry, they kept the free Bluebeam certifications. Keynotes from my hero, Duncan Wardle, former head of innovation and creativity at Disney, and Apple's legendary co-founder, Steve Wozniak. Use our exclusive code, UnboundTheCrew, for a discount, and join us as Bluebeam evolves and leads the digital construction movement. Register now at unbound.bluebeam.com, and we'll see you there. Use code UnboundTheCrew. All right, John. Excited to hear your story. You are not new to the construction technology world, but for those of you out there that don't know you, give a little history and sort of how we got here.
Yeah, man. So I've been, I've been in technology, to date myself a little bit, in technology for about 30 years now. Been in construction technology for almost 20 years, part of that. So I was part of kind of building a startup called Jovix. We did that for about 13 years, sold it to Hexagon in 21, and did consulting and all that, and ended up getting introduced to Cumulus, the company I'm working with right now, through one of the investors, Brick and Mortar. Kind of shout out to Curtis Rogers out there. He's one of the connectors in the industry. But now I'm at Cumulus and loving it.
That's awesome. We're big fans of Alex Leung. So
yep.
Alex and they're out there investing in the change in the world. Got to dig it. So big shout out to the Brick and Mortar team. We're always following what they're up to. I want to take you back. So 5 years in tech, and then you decide construction tech. Why?
It was a happy accident, you know, as many say, right? I was really at the time in IT and banking, and had kind of come up the ranks and had done, gotten into project management where, you know, you could probably hear the accent from Birmingham, Alabama. And at that time, that was a regional kind of area for banks. And so I'd gone and worked at a couple of different banks. And man, to be honest with you, I saw these sales guys coming in and driving nice cars. And I was like, I can stay in the bank, you know, and I can work here probably for the rest of my life. But, you know, it looks like what they're doing is a lot of fun. So one of the guys I worked with introduced me to a guy that he had gone to West Point with. And he was starting a company. And he really wasn't kind of didn't have the charisma, wasn't on the sales side. And he introduced us and kind of just hit it off. And at that time we started, it was just a general kind of, hey, RFID was the technology at the time, right? And so we started building custom systems for, you know, at that time as well, the automotive manufacturing started to hit the South. So you had Honda Automotive, you had a lot, you know, different ones. And so we built a big project for Honda Automotive. And we had a angel investor that was with one of the big utilities down there, Southern Company, and had said, hey, I saw what you guys were doing at Honda. You know, do you think you could do that with structural steel in a laydown yard in construction? And we went out, first time I'd ever been on a construction site, and looked at it. Thousands of these structural steel pieces out there. They all looked exactly the same. And said, okay, let's see if we can try to help solve that problem with RFID. And yeah, you know, long story short, it worked. We built a prototype, it worked. And then we just started selling it to construction companies, mostly EPCs, bigger kind of projects, building power plants and LNG, that kind of stuff.
Awesome. Well, I mean, it is a happy accident. I like the blend of automotive manufacturing technology coming over into construction technology. We see that quite a bit. I think we could see it more, actually, if we're lucky. There's a lot to be learned. There's a lot different in what we do and how we build. It can't be a manufacturing facility, but they certainly have a lot of techniques, especially around supply chain and understanding where things are. And it's really cool because, you know, we both have a very similar IT background. And my first world and kind of push out into the world was in RFID as well, but it was in gate technology for skiing with your passes. So you'd have an RFID and you'd ski up and ski through the gate. So, and I was
great invention, by the way. I mean, my God, you don't have to pull out your barcode and all that when you're going through the lift.
Yeah. I mean, we did it with the gates themselves with a company called Ski Data, and the gates automatically open for you like a turnstile going into like the subway and whatnot.
Yeah.
Vail Resorts chose to have somebody wave something at you in a weird way to open it up. That was their choice. Everybody has a choice. It still tracks. It's still a version of RFID. So you successfully exited, built something that, I mean, Jovix people really loved and, you know, was an early success, I'd say, in our world, because we didn't see a lot of those successes early on. There was a lot more learning curve than not. Why do you think, you know, what do you think was at the core of Jovix making it? And what did that teach you about, you know, sort of jump through the, you know, get acquired, you got to go through those things, but and jump through now to Cumulus. What were some of the lessons learned that you think you have to, anybody out there should pull through a career?
I tell you, it was, you know, it's all about solving a real problem, you know, and, you know, when we first got started in Jovix and I'd gone to that first lay down yard, we thought that, okay, well, you know, people just are losing stuff, right? And they just, oh, well, they just can't find it. And as you began to peel back that onion, you realize that that wasn't the core problem. Like the core problem is that they had a paper-based disconnected process. And because they had a paper-based disconnected process, the people that were downstream, the construction crew, were disconnected from the upstream procurement and fabrication. And so that was literally chaos because they didn't have information. And so where Jovix became really successful is when we started to, you know, yes, put RFID tags on things and yes, track that, but we actually tied it into the schedule and the work package and the plan so that the people that were planning the work and the people that were actually in the field, they actually now had the information in time. We said, you know, bad news early is good news, right? Because at least you now know that, hey, my crew is not going to have the materials and the tools and everything that they need to be, you know, to do this on this date. So now I can rework things before those guys are just standing there in the field. And so we used to call it feeding the beast, you know, but that was the real problem. And I think for any startup, they've got to figure out like, what is that core problem that you're solving? And for us, what we were solving, it wasn't that people were losing things all the time. It's they didn't have the information and they didn't have the information to make the decisions that would allow them to continue, you know, building with a flow, essentially.
Yeah. And getting them into flow and having those adjustments early is really key to productivity.
Totally.
It's a super powerful process for productivity and keeping crews going and creeping. You don't want to move crews around, but in the case of materials not being available, et cetera, being able to, you know, get ahead of it and keep people flowing is a really important process because time's money, especially now, right? We're building smaller things than we ever built before, right? We're not building the biggest things we've ever built before, right? There's no problem with that scale.
Yeah, right.
So it's interesting to say, you know, to hear you talk about flow and about making it easier for, you know, the crews getting work done, because that's where I think the most impactful pieces we can do are. So how did you carry that on and sort of what are you up to now that this, you know, brick and mortar came to you with a new challenge? And it sounds like you love a good challenge. So what's your new challenge? What's the problem?
Yeah, totally. Cumulus is, love the company, love the team that Matt and the guys have built. The real problem they're solving, what I fell in love with when I started, I did consulting with them for some time and tried to help them with kind of go-to-market strategy. How do you scale, right, at this point? And they had actually, again, another happy accident, had kind of stumbled into the data center market. you know, it's kind of funny. We talked about, you know, the beginning of my career was in IT, and, you know, that was back when you had server rooms. You know, everybody, you know, there wasn't really necessarily a cloud, but it was all the servers, and you had to maintain the servers. Well, you fast forward to today, and, you know, everything's in the cloud, and you're kind of in an AI arms race, because now you've got to have high capacity compute, high performance compute, and, you know, you've got these AI workloads. And so the problem that Cumulus solves for specifically the data center market is the data center market right now is all about speed. They literally cannot build these data centers fast enough. You know, depending on the report that you read, or, you know, the news article that's coming out, you know, they're saying there's going to be $1 trillion spent, you know, annually, you know, by 2030. If some people are saying by 2028 now, it's just going, and you want to go as fast as you can. But the real challenge is much like we found with the Jovix days, there's that same still problem within one specific workflow within the data center, and specifically for electrical and mechanical contractors. They are all still filling out their QA/QC paperwork with paper. You know, maybe you get an Excel spreadsheet, maybe you do a fancy form, but it's all still manual intensive. It's all still paper, and you got those same problems you have with Jovix, right? People don't have the information. I don't know the progress in a data hall. I don't know how much the commissioning team is literally waiting for. When am I going to be able to get this equipment? When are you going to be able to turn this over? When is the electrical contractor startup crew properly done the point-to-point testing so that we can get in and commission it, which is when we can actually turn the keys over and start making money? So it's really a very similar, analogous kind of area and problem. And so that's what Cumulus does, is completely eliminate that paper process.
Yeah. And it was funny because I had just been with an electrical contractor and talking a little bit about this in some of the other areas that they have to put this through. So it was a good time to kind of meet you and start talking about this problem, because I mean, we've never seen, I think you're right. We'd spend $1 trillion a year next year if they could get the designs, get the locations, and get the crews and the companies to do it. We're literally at capacity and we're stretching it. And people think about digitizing from the front load, and this is really digitizing this backload work that is critically slowing down the commissioning and the handover, which is where, like you said, this is where these people make their money, right? You called it an AI arms race. It's interesting because I think when people heard that, they thought you were going to come and say, you know, so we got to build all these AI agents and do all these AI things. And it's like, no, actually, it's literally the AI arms race is building the data centers to handle those workloads and produce the environment for the AI to work.
100%. So, I mean, if you think about it, like even before AI, before ChatGPT, right? That was kind of the watershed moment, is when ChatGPT came out. I mean, before that, you're already having, you know, more data in the cloud. You know, your iPhone, everything is producing so much more data. You've got to have data centers for that. Now you layer on the AI that's come into that, and now you're getting into agentic AI. And now you're going to get into physical AI. Depending on who you talk to, there's going to be billions of robots and all different form factors that are out there. They're all going to need AI to do that. And so the arms race is really between the hyperscalers. You know, and I think hyperscalers, there's like probably four out there. You know, you got Meta, Microsoft, Google, and AWS. And they're all in that race to try to build as much as they possibly can build. And, you know, recently, I don't know if you ever listened to the All In podcast. I'm a huge fan of that. They had the Google CEO on there, and he was saying that literally, you know, they're losing revenue because they cannot build these data centers fast enough. And the two bottlenecks are access to power, land that has power, and then electricians. He specifically called out electricians. So it is like in that kind of world, you've got to make these electricians as efficient as possible. And that's one of the things that we do at Cumulus.
We don't have enough. We're not going to have enough. And so there is areas to make people more efficient. And I want to talk about, I mean, access to power, et cetera. Those things are, you know, there's lots of people working on those problems, but it's the little things. So talk about how the product's actually helping those electricians, because I found that really unique. Some of the things that early problem, you know, you're working on the QAQC, you've got to, you know, make sure the forms are filled out, right? Make sure that it's reported back, because you can't, they can't explain that a little bit, because I want people to understand what it does.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, you know, back at Jovix, just to kind of draw the back to that for a minute, you know, we were on a couple of nuclear projects when they were building these big nuclear builds, and they would say that, you know, basically you couldn't finish receiving something until you had the paperwork, you know, the truckload of paperwork that came with that. Like, you really can't do anything until the paperwork is done. Well, I can draw that same analogy to the data center space, because the electrical and mechanical systems are critical, and you really cannot do anything until that paperwork is turned in. And the paperwork's got to be accurate. You can't lose the paperwork. And so it's very important to do that. And so if you think about an electrician, what do? Right. So they're going to come in, they're going to have to receive equipment. A lot of this is what's called OFCI, which is owner furnished, contractor installed. Right. So they're not out there having to buy all the equipment. The owner is going to furnish that for them, but they've got to receive that equipment. And when that equipment comes in, they've got to receive it. They've got to set it. Then they've got to run all the conduit, and then they've got to run all the wire. And so once they run that wire, then they've got to MEG test it. And that means that they're going to have to put a device on there, and literally one wire by one wire. And you can imagine there's thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, of these wires that are out there. And the way that they're doing that today is they're actually literally writing down, yes, we did this, 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 this. And they're literally, you get mounds of paperwork to do that. And then once you have actually tested it, then you have to terminate it. And when you terminate it, it has a very specific torque value that has to be applied to that. And then the way they're doing that today is they have to basically, the foreman is filling out a form that says, okay, for every single termination point in here, we've applied this torque to it. And someone will watch and say, the person turn their torque wrench to the exact torque value, apply the torque value, and then sign off on it. And then you've got third party inspectors. Sometimes you have what's called a torque witness. These are all humans that are involved in this. So what Cumulus does is we basically interface with Bluetooth enabled tools. And so there's now in the market Bluetooth torque wrenches, screwdrivers, torque guns. And then there's also like multi-testers, meggers, things, insulation testers that will record all of that automatically, and then also guide the worker through the exact procedure. So as the worker is doing the work, they're actually automatically recording the torque. It automatically sets the torque. There's no guesswork anymore. And then they also will answer their questions as they go through the workflow, and then take pictures of the torque mark that's on there. At the end of that, you've got a holistic digital record of every single time that's been touched for the cable test report and for the torque report. And the electrician and electrical contractors that we work with say that that eliminates 100% of the QAQC documentation that they have to produce on a project, which is saving tons of man hours on that.
And, you know, given that one of those, you know, missing reports can cause time.
Rework.
Rework. Cause they're going to have to go back out. If you're missing the paper, you don't get to just say, well, we did it.
If you don't have the paperwork, it didn't happen. I mean, that's what it is though.
Now, does this eliminate the need for the third party, for the other person looking, not the third party that's going to come in, but you know, the other person looking over your shoulder?
So like we got into it 3 years ago with one of the hyperscalers. We got about 1,000 users now on their program, and they've been able to eliminate the third party witness on that. So that in itself is a huge time savings just in manpower. But what the electrical contractors and the mechanical contractors like about it is they can just, like you talked about flow, they can do their work. They don't have to wait on someone to show up. They don't have to get a scissor lift, right? And get somebody up in a scissor lift with them and have to wait on the equipment and all that. They just do their work and it doesn't disrupt their flow. So that's a huge benefit for them.
Yeah, especially because I imagine having to test that many wires at that speed, even having to do the paperwork, breaks the flow. So the ability to have it all done in a sort of a manner of the tool's doing it and you're taking a picture of it and it's going from the tool into the software, because that's what's happening, right? Cumulus is connecting to the Bluetooth on the device itself and recording all of that as you go from step to step.
100%. And it also sets the torque. And that is actually a big deal for these contractors because, you know, oftentimes they're left to the worker in the field. They have to, you know, check with the foreman if the foreman can't find it like physically on a piece of equipment, or, you know, it's not already on a form, they have to call back into the office, talk to a field engineer, you know, and this actually takes all of that away because the torque is in the software and it goes bolt by bolt. Go to this bolt, it automatically sets the torque, records it. Go to the next bolt and it just kind of walks them through the full pattern.
Wow. Okay. So that's also really connected data. And that's the power of the tool itself, knowing the bolt, but then you're just harnessing getting that off of there, right? Or is it Cumulus isn't actually giving it the torque? That's all coming from the tool manufacturer and what they
do. Yeah, I mean, we load it in based on the engineering specs, you know, that are in there. So, you know, but somebody's got to learn that. Somebody's got to find that out. So, you know, we preload it so the worker in the field doesn't have to do it. You talk about making the electrician more efficient. You know, they're looking for people to fill these jobs anywhere they can. So you're getting young people that are coming in, they're still going to school, you know, and coming in and having something that guides them through step by step and doesn't make them guess on what that torque value should be and make sure that they set it exactly right actually makes them more efficient, and it actually makes the documentation more accurate.
Yeah, and that's one of the biggest problems we have is upskilling and having to use skilled labor in, say, an area where maybe it's not the most effective use of their skill set, right? Like terminating something, you know, it's important. And now that it can be controlled and really step processed, you know, you can trust that, you know, newer people can do it. And your skilled electricians, you know, experienced electricians can be working on maybe some of the harder problems that exist and, you know, moving that stuff forward on a job site. Cause again, then you got speed.
Well, and you also get your foreman exactly doing what you just said. The foreman now is focused on bigger problems, you know, and they're not focused. They're not sitting there filling out paperwork. The foreman love it.
I was going to say, I mean, because foremen love paperwork, right?
Right? Well, not the ones I've met.
I haven't met one that enjoys paperwork unless, you know, they found a way for it to prop something up and make their life a little easier to hold something. Because paperwork is just not why you get into building and why you get passionate about a trade in general. So you guys are there right now with it, and you've found a really great market. Where else do you think this problem exists? What do you think's the opportunity here? And maybe more, what do you think the, because, you know, I've felt like the connected tool has been sort of a linchpin to connecting the field through to the schedule, through to the billing, through to everything. Because, you know, like we've tried to come up with all these ways for percent completes and, you know, reality capture and digital twinning or whatever you want to call it, and trying to kind of associate, but it's really not, that alone doesn't tell the story.
Right.
The tools themselves and the speed at which they're being used, you know, tells you. Because if they're, you know, speeding through and they stop, and then they're speeding and stop, like it shows them a lack of flow. Whereas if they get a consistent, you know, they're consistently performing every week in this way, then great, you can take sort of some of that and predict how you're going to do. So I've always felt like these tools are a key linchpin to connecting some of this stuff, but I hadn't heard it. I'd never heard this problem statement about how it's actually creating a lot of extra work in this, you know, sort of dark hole that we don't hear about a lot, right? You hear about paperwork on daily reports, submittals, RFIs, you know, things that you see, incidents, safety, and QAQC. I've heard things before, but not at this level. So what do you think is the scope of this problem? And what do you think is the opportunity then?
Yeah, totally. And I'll tie it back to Jovix because I've kind of been down that journey and I can see the path here, but you know, the first thing is to eliminate the paper so that now you have a digital record, but you also are collecting data in real time. And so now that you have that data in real time, it's now taking that data and correlating it to other data. Now, we've got a lot of friends that are, you know, in that reality capture space that you talked about. And those are great systems. But what we talk about with them is the fact that they have visible progress. We have non-visible progress. And so if you think about it, you can literally take that data hierarchy and tie it from the bolt to the piece of equipment, to the wire pull, to the data haul, to the building, to the project, right? down to the individual crew member and crew, and be able to take that data and see, okay, how are we progressing every day? You know, and you really can't claim something until you've got that paperwork in and that paperwork is done. And so now it's great that you may be able to go out and take your 360 camera and see what's kind of in place. And that gives you really good information. But do you really know that that's been terminated? Do you really know that that paperwork has been turned in? No, you don't, right? So with something like this, you know, there's an opportunity to combine that with the visual data, the non-visual data, and then obviously you start throwing in your schedule and your plan data. And now you've got a very rich data set that you just didn't have before and you couldn't have before because, again, the underlying process was paper. And often, let's be honest with you, that paperwork, it's often filled out after the fact. You know, you hear about the term pencil whipped and, you know, after the fact, it's very hard to remember what you did 5 minutes ago versus what you did at the beginning of the week. You know what I mean? And so this is actually giving you better accurate information, but now you've got data that what can you do with that data that you never had before?
Yeah, that it's really powerful. It's a couple of things, you know, like it's important still, if, you know, you're terminating your testing, so things can fail. So you got to catch that. But you're also, you know, documenting, and now I could see that data set, especially if it's, you know, capable of being around the crew and being tied back to the crew and the equipment, where it's being placed, how it's being placed, especially because in the data center world, it's very repeatable.
Totally.
And that repeatability with the rich data set gives us a predictability for the future and understanding the speed at which we can do it. And sometimes, I mean, they all want them open as soon as they can. But the best thing you can do is tell them exactly when it's going to open.
Right.
Right. Even if you, like you said before, like the earlier you know about a problem, the more it is a decision. Like, great. They might not want to hear that it's going to open at exactly 19 months. And this is the predicted schedule given everything goes well. And it does. They might not like it. They wanted it open in 15 months, but at least 19, they can plan their business plans, their cap plans, everything they need to do, and know that that's when it's coming online. And it's also no good to tell them, hey, we're going to do it in, you know, 18 months and we do it in 36 months. You know, they get really mad.
Which does happen for sure.
It happens, you know. So you guys are really focused there. And we've talked a lot about electrical. You've kind of mentioned mechanical. Are you seeing some of the same opportunities in the mechanical?
Yeah, totally. I mean, in mechanical, you got flanges, right? And then the other thing that is a trend that I don't think is going to reverse is liquid cooling. Because, you know, this AI load, it produces a massive amount of heat. And so now what you're seeing is direct liquid to chip cooling. And in order to do that, now you have basically a mechanical plant, you know, that is there. And there's all different types of piping and valves and mechanical systems. And that's where Cumulus, we didn't really talk about it, but that's where Cumulus started. Cumulus started about 10 years ago, spun out of Shell, the oil and gas company. And, you know, up until 3 years ago, it was all mechanical. You know, it's all about flanges. And the thing about flanges is if you over torque a flange as you're doing that, that's not good. Because they all have gaskets, right? And if you compromise a gasket, then you're going to have it. I just had one of the hyperscalers that we work with was telling me a story where they had a mechanical system and it basically had a leak and it dumped thousands of gallons of liquid onto the servers and created downtime, obviously created a lot of cost, and the root cause analysis comes back to improper torquing of that. You know, and so it's extremely important on the mechanical side as well.
And same paper process, same paper problem.
Same. You know, now they're not pulling wire. They're not doing all that kind of stuff, you know, but I mean, and some of the, you know, we work heavily with what's called integrators. And so in a data center space, they modularize the design. And that seems to be a trend that's increasing as well. And so you'll take some of that electrical, mechanical, and you'll try to do it as much offsite as you possibly can. Now, in some of those, you'll have electrical and mechanical all within one, you know, skid or one module there. And so, you know, we're working with about, I guess, 15 different integrators right now. And some of those are having to use it for electrical, mechanical within one individual module that are there.
So they're, and if I get this right, they're doing it in the fab facility, the module facility, whatever you might want to call it, because it seems like it's multi-trade. So
that's right.
You know, either they're a multi-trade capable or, you know, they're a modular. And data centers are ripe for that as well, right? Repeatable. It's thankfully, it's not really about design. You know, it's about functionality and it's about getting all this done and done fast. And everywhere I've heard about somebody coming up with a prefabricated speed piece, it gets picked up real quick by the hyperscalers themselves because they need it, right? So you're able to do some of this QA/QC at the modular facility before it's delivered. So it's just really whatever's got to be done when you're connecting it up when you bring it in.
Yeah, and for the hyperscale developer and the GC, that's kind of the dream, right? Now I've got everything that happened at offsite. I've got, we have the thing where you can track, it was pre-travel torque and then post-travel torque, because these things have to travel over the road, and is vibration causing an issue, that kind of thing. So we have all of that data all the way through to where it's installed. And so if you can see that across your trade partner, some of the mega projects we're on right now, there'll be two GCs, there'll be four or five electrical contractors, two or three mechanical contractors. And, if you don't have a standardized QA/QC process, you've just created chaos, right? And now you're having to look at this one's paperwork that looks like different than this one's paperwork. And it just is not a streamlined process.
I could see this being really powerful in a lot of those areas. And given that you've built in and, if the folks listening listen back a little bit to the interview with Peter Lozinski, he opened my eyes to some of the nuances of filling out a daily report and how guiding people through a daily report can really help them. You're guiding all these folks through this process, making it simple, making it fast, and clearing up the documentation so people can do other stuff. So I see a lot of space for this to grow.
Yeah, I do too.
Well, I think with that, we're going to have to let that microphone drop and call it, because we are hitting that magical time. John, it's been awesome to sit down, get to learn more about Cumulus, about you and your path. Love that we followed a similar path and ended up here in beautiful Colorado. And hopefully at some point we get out on a bike together and ride around and have some fun.
Let me know, man. Anytime.
That would be great. Thank you guys for tuning in today. Thank you for tuning in today to Geek Out for our interview with John Cheshire. To read all our news stories, learn more about our guests, and to listen to this show, visit thecontentcrew.com. This is the Content Crew signing out. Until next time, enjoy the ride and geek out.